inner veil in the most holy place with our God, in his presence, where the Holy Spirit would hang over that mercy seat and extend that mercy out to the people. That's where we find that rest. Can we sing it one more time? All is well. All is well. Amber alert out, so somebody is in need. Let's lift them up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come in the precious name of the Lord Jesus into your presence. We love you, Father, more than life. You're everything to us, Lord. We just want you, not only in our love to you for everything, but to be everything for us and in us and through us, because that's all that matters, Lord. Now, we offer ourselves up to you this morning as your servants and say, Lord, please, you do what you want to do and say what you want to say. But we have needs. There's no way a mortal can meet those, Lord. We lift each person up in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, who knows every heart, knows the number of hairs on each head. That's how intimately and personally you know each one of us. So do you know our needs? Of course. We lift, speak to each heart, Lord. Now there's a little boy missing, and he's separated from his family. Can't even talk, but Lord, please, we just lift him up into your throne of grace. Please restore him, Father. Take him back to his loving family in care and protection. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're all things to all your people, Father. Only you can do that, and only you can be that. So now we come in the precious name of our Lord Jesus to meet with you under his blood. And we have a promise, Lord, that you'll meet with us there under that blood. So we offer ourselves to you now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks. You may be seated. All right. Okay, we have Mary's sister Donna with us here from Washington. I knew you when you had different colored hair. Now she's we're all changing, aren't we?
And you too.
Yeah, when I had hair. Yeah, Fabio and Myra, nice to see you. Stephen and Bethany, God bless you. Miss you guys. Albert and Frida, we love you. So nice to have Peter's parents here with us. God bless you richly. And Sister Connie, love you, sister. Nice to have you always. God bless you. And we have a visitor here. God bless you, my dear friend, brother. And we even have Derek with us today. Yeah. Let's go right into the Word. Got lots of things to cover here. Last week we had a message entitled The Mystery of Words, and we were looking at words and their meanings, and the meanings have become altered, and so many times even our experience changes the meanings of words and totally distorts them. And we've all had our own experiences of that, and we've seen it, and we've heard it, and we just say, oh, Lord, you got to help us so that we know your meaning of the words. Fabio and Myra, God bless you. Is your mom here? Not today? Well, nice to see you guys with the kids. Greet your mom for us, would you? Her mom came to stay for several months, right? Wow, that's nice. All the way from Honduras. She came up to Minnesota to warm up, you know. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, today, we're continuing on with that, actually, because our prayer is that the scripture out of Zephaniah chapter 3 that we read last week will be fulfilled, where he says, I will restore unto you a pure language. It doesn't make any difference, honestly and truly, what I think or what you think. The only thing that makes a difference is what he thinks. Amen. And when it comes to his word, he's the only one that can interpret it, and he does. And we're so thankful for that. So today, going back into Hebrews chapter 4 again, Derek, you'll love it. And today, my thought is, just so you know where I'm going, is again, word, but this time not the mystery of words, but words with wings. So would you stand with me and let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4, get right into the word. We love his word, it's our life. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. Isn't it interesting that Paul would write this to the New Testament believers? Seeing examples of how God's people responded to him in the past, but we're confident that we're not going to respond in those ways. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith, or there wasn't any revelation. They really didn't hear what he said in them that heard it. But he's speaking to believers, for we which I believe do enter into his rest, and that's us. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, and again it's his rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore there remaineth that some must enter therein. And they to whom it is first preached entered not in because of unbelief. And again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear this voice, harden not your hearts. Always that comes up. So the entering into the rest has everything to do with hearing his voice. And it's daily. Isn't that interesting? You look in your Bible there in verse 7. Have you ever seen today where it's separated like that, to and day? And do you have an understanding of why that is? Derek does. You don't? I don't either. Don't have a clue. I've looked and I haven't found anything on it, so I don't know why that's separated there, but there's some kind of a reason for it, I'm sure. Okay, God bless you. Thank you. You may be seated. Excuse me? I'm sorry?
It is that way throughout the Bible.
Yeah, Psalm 95. But why? We don't know the reason. Two separated and day. Two words. So it's King James. Oh, that's okay. All right. We're still thankful for it, aren't we? All right. Hebrews, again, so much there, so much going on. A continuation, actually, from, again, the message last week where we pointed out the fact that the rest spoken of in Hebrews 4 is not a physical rest. It's not a stopping of everything. It is not only the rest in the Word of God. It is true rest in the life of the believer that testifies something. If I can rest in His Word, it shows something that there's a total trust. If I can rest in His Word, it shows there's an absolute confidence in my Father, just like Jesus had, okay? But it even goes beyond that, because if I am at rest in the Word of God, where we all must be, it shows there's a complete rest in the integrity of my Father who spoke it. And I like that. And I think that's just as important for us to go there with this as just to say, oh, I'm resting in faith. Oh, I'm resting in the Word. But no, yes. I trust Him. Yes. I trust everything about Him. I trust what He does. I trust what He says. He doesn't make mistakes. He's over everything. He's over every power. So when I have that kind of faith and when I have that kind of trust, it shows I trust in the integrity of God. Amen. So He is what He says He is, right? He does what He says He does. He is who He says He is. And He can't be anything different than what He says He is. As the Scripture also says, He's the God that changes not. Now, I brought this Scripture up because it means a lot to me from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, and it's just the half front part of the verse, but it says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is the faithful God. And I love that. Isn't that nice to know about Him? And that's an anchor to our soul. And even as I questioned, I think it was on a Wednesday night, and I said, well, okay, what does that mean? That God is a faithful God. To what and to whom is He faithful? Well, number one, He has to be faithful to Himself. He can't be anything different than what He is. Absolutely true to what He is. Now, humans aren't like that. Huh? Yeah. We can not be true to ourselves at all. We can be very changing and wish-washy, and we can be different around different people and different around different situations. That's not God. He absolutely cannot be anything different than what He is, no matter confronted by whatever situation or any principality or any power. He is absolutely the same, and I love that. And that's where He has to take us to be in our transformation. So, you know, I can't be different around different people at different times for different reasons. I got to be what He ordained me, wanted me to be. Then, here's another scripture. If you turn with me in your Bibles, let's go to Exodus. Because this has always intrigued me and amazed me, and I think it's quite beautiful, and I believe that Moses absolutely, of course, we know that he did, but spoke this by revelation. Now, this is Israel just coming across the Red Sea, and they are singing. And they're so happy because of what God just did. And there is the sea now between them and their enemies. So there's got to be this incredible thanksgiving and incredible relief, because the danger was there, and the danger was real, and the danger was imminent, and there was no way to escape that danger outside of God being there, right there, present tense with them at that second. So here again is a continuing underlying theme in the book of Hebrews that we went to, and that is, it's God present tense all the time. And that's what Paul stressed all the way through Hebrews, and that's why we went into it in the first place. And here we see it again. Look at the first couple verses. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song. They all knew it, or they learned it by the Spirit of the Lord at that time. and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God. I will exalt him. And that's exactly what he did. Now look at the prophecy there. I will prepare him a prophecy. He's looking ahead by the Spirit of God all the way to the New Jerusalem. Look at verse 17. And thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance. Isn't that beautiful? Here's the story of the beginning of redemption in Exodus is the book of redemption. Remember that? Okay. I will plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance. Where does that all end up? New Jerusalem. In the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for what? For thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. Look at what the next verse is. The Lord shall reign forever. Yeah, amen. So there he is. O Lord, help that little boy. Get him home. Okay, now back to chapter 15, an earlier verse there. And he's looking at what God did, and he's glorifying for what God did, and he's glorifying from what he is. And in verse 11, who is like unto thee? I love to sing that. I love to sing those words when we worship the Lord and say, you know, there's just nobody like you. Don't you love to sing that to him? I love to say that to him. And I believe he loves to hear it because there isn't. Who is like unto our God? Oh, Lord, there's nobody like you, nothing like you. You're just totally the most epitome of every good thing that there is, right? Who's like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee? And look at this next phrase. Glorious in what?
Holiness.
Now, would you write that? Brother Albert, if you're writing about the wonderful things about God and how much how great he is that something that would come to your mind to speak? Me either. No. What kind of a revelation is he? That by the Spirit of God, Moses uttered these words that there's something glorious in holiness. And then what comes after that is, I think, a result of because of that glorious in holiness. Let's look at it. Fearful in praises, and then what's the next thing? Okay, that is such an interesting thing there, but it's so profound and so deep, and so it's really beautiful, glorious in holiness. So I think he is totally set apart from everything else, totally into true to what he is.
Yes.
And he can't be any different than that, going back to that. So these two verses, Deuteronomy 7, 9, and Exodus 15, 11 are so beautifully together, aren't they? So he is set apart to himself. There's no power that can affect that. There's no a power that can affect him. Isn't that beautiful? There's nothing that can alter him. There's nothing powerful enough to change him or make him different from what he intrinsically and essentially is. So there are those words come to life. Therefore, he is absolutely worthy of all of our trust. Because of that, glorious in holiness, God, our faithful God, because of that, he is absolutely worthy of all my trust, all my affection, all my devotion, and all of my worship. He has proved to us that we can simply believe what he says. And we rest in him, we rest in what he is, we rest in what he does, and we rest in what he says. Even as the scripture in the book of Ruth, when our prophet says, Ruth working, Ruth making her decision first, then Ruth in the second stage working, and he said every Christian has to work its way through legalism to get to Christ, and then Ruth resting is a type of the church resting in the promises of God. Isn't that beautiful? There's our rest. We have the earnest of our salvation. We're not worried whether we're going over there or we're not going. We're just going. because God said so. He said it, that settles it, I believe it, it's done, right? Okay. Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to backtrack in the scripture today and pray that the Lord shows us to see more of what lies beyond the words of Hebrews 4 and Hebrews 3 that we spent so much time. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will help us see the thought and the meaning behind the words. So what does Hebrews 3 and 4, well, they are quoting so many times, Psalm 95, okay? So let's turn there. Psalm, you know, we used to sing this. It's a very common psalm, very beautiful psalm. Out of all the psalms, there's probably a handful that people really recognize and know and sing. Psalm, you know, Psalm 23, right? Who doesn't know that one? Psalm 95 is a common one, set to music a lot. Psalm 100, but a lot of them people don't even realize. They're all beautiful. They're all the Word of God. So we're going to be looking, as we look into Psalm 95, going to look at God's sight, okay? Let me say that again. We're going to look at God's sight given through the eyes of a man who believes him. Can I say that one more time? We're going to look at God's sight given through the eye of man who has the Word of God in his heart. Then we're going to counter that, look from two different angles, and what man sees just in himself. Okay? Now, Psalm 95, we'll just read it. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto the God with psalms. For the Lord. Now, it's capital L-O-R-D, every word capitalized. So that means that's those four letters, Y-H-W-H. I think that's what it is. Y-H-W-H, yeah. So that's the name of God. From Exodus chapter 3, this is my name, but it's too holy. So whenever they wrote it down, hence after that, it was always put called the Lord. Is a great God. He's magnified. He's exalted and the great king above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth and the strength of the hills are also his. The sea is his and he made it and his hands formed the dry land. Then, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker. Excuse me, I got a tickle. For he is our God and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Now look, why does he change here? But there's quite a dichotomy there. Today, if you will hear his voice, and he goes to the greatness of God, to this incredibly distinct and different place, but it's all in the same psalm. Today, if you will hear his voice, now here's Hebrews 3 and 4. Harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me. Now, that word tempted is very interesting. It's not tempting as we think of it, but the word there is to be put to the test. And if you will look in your Bible apps on Hebrews chapter 3, where it's quoting these exact words, where they tempted me, it says they put me to the test to find my approval, whether they should trust me or not. Every time I think of that, I think, you got to be kidding me. I'm going to put God to the test to see if he meets my approval, if I really should trust him. But that's what the scripture says that they did to him. They tempted him. They tested him. Can I really prove you? Well, come on. Look at this whole thing of Hebrews and here in Psalms goes back to that incredible journey through the wilderness that Israel had to follow, and they had to be tested. And he didn't tell them they had to be tested. He just said, I'm going to take you from point A to point B. I'll take you to the promised land, period. Now, if they would have really believed, that's all they would have needed to know, right? Then it didn't make any difference. If he says, I'm going to take you there, I'm going to take you there. So on the way, this obstacle comes and that obstacle comes and this enemy comes and that comes. Well, I'm not there yet. And he says he's taking me there, so I don't care. Nothing can prevent me from being there because he said he's taking me there. If they would have just believed those words, they would have overcome everything that they saw and felt and heard. But they didn't, because he couldn't hear. And why does it always bring it up? Today, if you will hear his voice, they didn't. And they couldn't because, as we pointed out in Exodus chapter 6, verse 9, so much, they couldn't hear because of their physical, what their eyes saw, what their body felt, what their aches and their pains and the situation they were in prevented them. Yes, I've spent a lot of time on this. Yes, I spent a lot of time on this on purpose because this is a threat to every single one of us. You can be so caught up in your problems. Have you ever seen people full of problems that are so caught up they can't see outside of themselves? Okay? So tell me this isn't a threat to us. And we have to watch this, and every single one of us and everything we face, I get so caught up that all I think about was my problems. So I'll never forget, I was at the doctor's office one time having a procedure done, and I had my eyes closed. They said, open your eyes. I kept closing my eyes. Okay, you know, you're having a wisdom teeth pulled or something. Open your eyes. Why? Because when you close your eyes, you are internalizing your focus of what your pain is. True or not true?
Yes.
Isn't that the truth? If you open your eyes, you start looking or engaging and seeing people, and there's a world outside of your pain. Think about that. Think about that. And people love to internalize and focus on their pain where they can't see anything but that. So here we look at these verses and say, oh, they are so real. Exodus 6, 9, I bring it up over and over, and there's a reason for it, because there's a threat that could come and say, I can just focus on my pain. I can't even hear the word of God. That's exactly what happened to them and exactly what can happen to each one of us. It'll prevent you from hearing the voice of God. Make sense? Okay, you know, that's why I keep going back to these things. So here we are. Let's go back. Verse 8, harden not your heart as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work. Here's the thing, 40 years they saw. 40 years. He fed a manna every day. 40 years their shoes didn't wear out. 40 years they didn't get sick. 40 years he helped them. 40 years he proved he was there. But it's hot, so you must not be. But it's dry, so you must not be. But there's enemies. No, come on, this is what was going on in their heads. I'm having trials, so you must not be here. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, said it is a people that do err in their heart. They have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. So, God's sight. God's sight. In the first several verses, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. God's sight. And then it goes to God's sight of man's view without his word in them today, if you will hear his voice. So there's two distinct sets of things going on there. Now, let's go back and see what the psalmist said here, because these words are the expression of what was lying in somebody. We don't know who this psalmist is exactly. It doesn't say. And I doubt very seriously that this was a man thinking, you know, oh, gee, let's see. I have to come up with a song for church. So I think it was something in his heart that he uttered out because it was simply there. And that's what I love about the Psalms. That's what I love about us singing when the Lord gives somebody a song out of the Word of God or out of Scripture. Okay, what are the Psalms? What are the Scriptures? Men taken over by the Spirit of God to give us who would come after them, words that speak to the soul of man, to build him up and to carry him, listen to this, please, to carry him beyond the realm of his flesh into some higher reality. To show them that God's truth, God's word is an eternal truth, a truth that you can cast yourself on and allow God to prove himself to you and in you. Now, let's take verse 1. All right. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Question, is there trust there? Yes. Is there confidence here? Yeah, there is. Look at verse 2. Let us come before his what? Don't you love that? I'm going to church. I'm going to sing. I'm going to the temple. I'm going to sing. But where's God? Oh, he's up somewhere. He's lofty. He's higher. No, I'm going to his presence. And he had that revelation, and he knew, or he wouldn't have uttered those words. I'm going into the presence of my God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you would come to church every single week like that, or every time you open your Bible and get down on your knees, or open a message book and listen and say, I want to meet and coming into the presence of my God, I tell you, things would be different for each one of us, right or wrong, true or not true. So there's these words, words that are rolled over, passed over, that words can change our life in 1 second if you just stop and pay attention to these bit by bit. Okay. I'm coming into his presence. And how can I come any other way than thanksgiving? How can I come any other way than making a joyful noise with psalm? I'm in the presence of my God. And my God is for me. And he is my Savior. And he is my salvation. And he is my joy. And he is my peace. And he is my everything. So here we're looking at this. What are we asking all these times? I believe him. Because I trust him, because my confidence is him. And that shows that I trust the integrity of my God and who he is. So here we go again. Verse 1, is there trust there? Yeah. Is there confidence? Oh, yes. Verse 2, does this confidence bring joy? Look at verse 3. For the Lord is a great God and a king above all gods. My God, the one who I am coming in the presence of, the one that is for me, he's above everything. So look at 3. Does that trust and confidence bring you peace and rest? Yes. You see God's sight? You see how beautiful God's sight is? You see where God takes a person? When he gives him his side of the Word of God, he lifts him up in a place of joy and of peace and of rest. Yeah. Now, let's go to verse 4. In his hand are the deep places of the earth, and the strength of the hills are his also. The sea is his, and he made it in the hands. Oh, is this God a wimp? No, he's the creator of everything that's around me. What kind of word, what kind of power, what kind of thing was in that voice that I look around at everything? This is his spoken word. This land is the spoken word. This sea is the spoken word. Those trees are the spoken word of God. And I look at that, and how can I be anything but else remain peaceful in him, right? So here, I'm going to ask you a question with verse 4. Does this trust and confidence eliminate fear and worry? Yeah. Is this making sense? It says, see, when you have God's sight and you take these words that are precious, words have wings that transport us up into places above where all the trouble is. Words have wings. God's words do, at least, have wings. Okay. Verse 5 through 7, for he, look at this, this great God, the one in whom, whose presence I come in, he is our God and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his band, and I'm the one he takes care of. I'm the object of his affection. I'm the one that he watches over. I'm the one that he feeds. I'm the one that he protects. Huh? Now I'm going to ask you a question. What kind of a place of this, of rest and peace and safety and contentment is there in the eyes of God in those words that just came out of a man because they were there and had to come out? Wouldn't you like to be that way? So now it's in this verse 8. The psalmist changes his focus from what he is to what he is in your eyes and minds and heart. And he will stay the way he is in me. He will stay true to the words spoken of him if today, think of this, today, why is that there? Today, is there on purpose? Today, not tomorrow, every single day, I will keep this confidence, I will keep this trust, I will keep this place of peace, I will keep this place of rest, I will keep this place without fear, I will keep this place of contentment if I hear his voice every day. Mm-hmm. Come on, you guys, true or not true? If, think of this every day, if you will hear his voice, that if, don't harden your hearts because of what you see. Don't harden your hearts because of what you hear or what you feel. And don't put the Lord your God to the test to prove whether he's worthy of your trust. Now, quite a distinction there, isn't it? Which set of verses would you like to set your affections and trust at? First 7 or the 8 through 11? Huh? It's okay. They're still looking. Lord, help that little boy.
It's Hopkins.
It is Hopkins, oh Lord Jesus. Mm. My goodness. All right. Now, if you'll go back here, and you'll look in your margins and say some of those verses they're quoting back. So we're going to go back to another book, the book of Numbers, and chapter 14, backtracking. Okay. Now, Numbers, we know where we're at when we go to Numbers chapter 14. We're at Kadesh Barnea, which is the judgment seat. It's the deciding factor. And this is where all that the Lord said to go over, go into the promised land. It's time to cross over. And they said, no. No, we can't do it. So here we got that's okay. Scripture says, tarry ye there for one another. That's right. It's a good day for that. Numbers 14, very sadly, man's view without the word of God in his heart. okay? My goodness. And the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept at night. Look at that. Why? Because of what they saw. There's no difference between here at Kadesh Barnea and when they were leaving Egypt the first time. They couldn't hear the word of God because of what they saw, what they felt, mm-hmm. what they experienced. It's just too hard. Listen, brothers and sisters, we are in an overcoming place and an overcoming time, and we must overcome everything of this world in these situations if we're going to overcome, because otherwise we'll be just like them. And we don't want to be just like them. Because just like them is they couldn't even hear the word that would deliver them. Mm-hmm. The word of promise that would set them free. The word of God that had the love of God that says, I'm here for you to help you, to deliver you, to take you over. Don't worry. You know what? And I'm here. I'm here with you. I'll be here with you tomorrow. I'll be with you the next day. I'll be with you all the way. I'm taking you there, and I'm not going to leave you. Like, what is it, Genesis 28, Jesse? What he spoke to Jacob. He says, I will not leave you until I've accomplished every word I've spoken of to you. You think the same thing isn't for us today?
Amen.
God will not leave you until he has spoken every word of promise and fulfill it in you. He has to watch over his word to see that it's fulfilled in me, in you. So he's there. So here they are, and here's the congregation again. They lifted up their voice and cried and wept, and the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, they all said, oh, you know, I wish we would have died. What a slap in the face of God. Huh? What a slap in the face. Mm-hmm. Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God have we had died in the wilderness, and wherefore, look at this. What a negative confession. Look at verse 3. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword? He brought us out there to kill us. Oh yeah, right? Did you hear a word I said? That's where we were last week. Our experiences alter how we hear. God has to cleanse that. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9 has to be filled. I will return unto the people a pure language. They have to hear not with their own thinking, not through their own interpretation, by their own experiences, but what I mean. When I say love, it's all that I am. It's not what some pervert does with it. Huh? When I say the word of God, it's not what some man does with it to manipulate other men, as in the Nicolaitan spirits down through the church ages. But it's me. It's the one that you trust in, the one that you have confidence, the one that you say, I trust him because I believe my God is a God of integrity and everything good and everything perfect and everything pure, right?
Amen.
And that's what he is. So hear these people, what a slap in the face to God. You brought us out here to kill us, didn't you? Oh, after all that I've done? Really? Huh? Not, I didn't just say something, but I proved it to you. In fact, I proved it over and over and over to you, and then I finally did the ultimate test and parted the water so you could come through, and now you say this? You brought me out here to kill me? And this is where we have to, again, overcoming all of our senses to stand alone on the word of God. And they said to one another, let us look at this. Okay. Let's go back. Okay. That was man's view without the word of God in his heart. Now, here are men of God who had the word of God in their hearts. Look at the difference. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation and the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephthah, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. How could you dare say such a thing against our God? And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land, just like God said. His word is true. We got proof. Yeah, we can trust him. Amen. He said it was a land flowing with milk and honey. Look at what we brought back. We got proof that what he said was true, right?
Amen.
If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us. And he proved he delighted us in a land that flows with milk and honey. Verse 9, only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them. They are bread. Those giants, they're bread. Those giants, the ones you're trembling over, the one you say you got to go back, the one you're running from, don't fear them. They're bread. We're going to eat them. Their defense has departed from them. Did you see that? One eye with the word of God in it says their defense has departed from them. The other one says, I'm a grasshopper and they're going to stomp on me. One is life, one is death. One that had the word of God, that could hear the voice of God, that heard, did hear the voice of God, said, don't fear, nothing, no problem. Well, you know, but look it. Where does it say? They wouldn't go in because of their children. Yeah. Well, you know, okay. Here, David. We're going into the land of giants, but don't worry about Lilia or Stephen with Levi or Isaac or Hosanna, right? Now, Bethany, you're a mama. Lilia, you got mom, loving mom and dad. And you would say to your parents, now don't worry about those giants, because in those little mouth of babes, God is perfecting praise. And they would look into the land, and David say, yeah, Lilia, there's these great big men and they're loaded and they're well equipped and they're very well trained and they know all about warfare that we know nothing of, but I'm taking you in because I trust my God. Quite a bit of difference, isn't there? Right, Stephen? Hey, Bethany? You understand? The Lord will use your children.
Yes.
The enemy will use your children. And you have to be careful when the enemy uses your children to worry about standing against the promises of God. You're in trouble. But do you know what he'll do? He'll do exactly what he did to them. You worried about your children? Okay, they're going in, you're not. Ah! Is that what he said? The ones you worried about, the ones you wouldn't trust me with, the ones that you said, you're so, you know, I can't go in because of them, are the ones I'm taking in, and you're not. I'm not taking you in. Oh, the excuses of man and his unbelief. But oh, the glory of those words of God, that those words take, those words have wings, that they go into men's heart and they say, those wings carry me above those giants. And they carry me above those dangers. And they carry me above all those threats. And they carry me those words with wings that carry you into the presence of God and where all things are possible. And there is no fear. There's only joy and peace and rejoicing. Brothers and sisters, God's words have wings. Yeah. So here's the sad state of men. Look at verse 10. But all the king, look at the sad state of men who have rejected the word of God. But all the congregation bade them stone him with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me? Huh? Why? What do I have to do before they'll believe me? There you go. For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them. Yeah, make you a greater nation. Now, 13 to 19 is the spirit of Christ in Moses where he intercedes for the people. Don't, people. Look, God says, okay. Verse 20. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with my glory. Somebody's going to believe me someplace, sometime. Somebody's going to believe me. And this is the day we're living in, and this is for me, and this is for you, and this is for now. I will be filled with the glory of the Lord because I believe every word he said.
Amen.
Yeah. Because all those men which have seen me, my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and the wilderness, have tempted me these 10 times and have not hearkened. They have not listened. Nope, didn't pay attention to a word I said. Surely they'll not see the land which I swear to their fathers, neither shall any of them provoke me see it. Now, we're going to fast forward here. And we're going to the book of Deuteronomy, and we're fast forwarding 40 years. And we're going to the very first chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Verses 1 through 3. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, in the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment to them. He was obedient. He was just a mouthpiece. That's a prophet. So here they are, 40 years later, and they're reviewing, okay? They're reviewing Kadesh Barnea again, Moses telling them what they went through, and in verse 27 to 33. Okay. Words with wings, brothers and sisters. What man sees in verse 27 without God's word in their hearts, ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us. Huh? Yeah. God hated you, really? Huh? That's your confession? That's what you're seeing? That's what's in your heart? God hated you? Really? That's death, isn't it? Listen, man's words don't have wings. Man's words are earthbound and they'll kill you. Stay right in the chicken yard, picking in the dirt, because that's all I can see. God hated us. I can't believe that they would say words like that. And brought us out of the land, brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us to the land of the Amorites to destroy us. Really? God brought me out to destroy me? This is their confession. Why did they make that confession? Because they didn't hear the voice of God. Because they didn't hear one thing he said. So here is man without the word of God in him. Whither shall we go up, our brethren? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are greater and walled up to heaven. Oh, yeah, now see how things grow? A 10-foot wall becomes a 20-foot wall, becomes a wall up to heaven. Now tell me if that's what, do you remember what I said earlier? Open your eyes. When you close your eyes, you focus on your pain, and your pain grows, and your pain expands. Open your eyes to see things around you. Open your eyes to see the Word of God. Okay? Those walls all of a sudden became walls to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Now here's God's sight. Uh-huh. Did God see it the same way as they did? Verse 29. Then I said to you, dread not. Don't be afraid of them. The Lord your God goes before you. Yeah. Hey, that made all the difference. Well, why didn't they see that? Why didn't they know that? Oh, why didn't they understand that, he had told them, I will go before you. I will be with you. My presence will go with you. He told them all these things. Why didn't they hear the voice of God? Why didn't they? The same thing that will prevent me and you from hearing the voice of God. Wallow in your troubles. Just wallow in your problems and see where it gets you. Concentrate on how hard things are. Huh? Concentrate on how difficult life has become. Just concentrate on that and watch and see if that doesn't grow and see if all of a sudden you can't hear the voice of God anymore. True or not true? Verse 29 again, God's sight. Then said I unto you, dread not. Neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, the Lord your God, the Lord your God, he's your God, he's your Father, he's for you. He goes before you. He shall what?
Fight for you.
Oh, that's what I need. I need him to fight for me. According to all that he did for you, according to all that he did for you. In Egypt before your eyes. Okay, and verse 31. Would you read it out loud with me? Because these words are precious. This is God's sight. This is God's. This is the truth. And in the wilderness, where you have seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son. Isn't that incredible? Just read that again. 31, the first part. And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God did bear thee, as a man bears his son, and all the way that you went until you came to this place. Aren't those precious words? Mm-hmm. All right, Stephen, how does a man bear his son? Pete? Fathers? Nate? Derek? Huh? Brother Daniel, Brother Greg, Brother Fabio, how does a man bear his son? Protecting. Say it again, Pete. Protectingly exposing. Nate, how does a man bear his son? Does he care about him? Does he watch over it? Huh? And that's how God says, as a father bears his son, is the same way I'm bearing you. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that beautiful? That's God's. Now, which is truth? Which is truth, God's sight or man's sight? But look at this. Read verse 32 out loud with me. Yet in this thing he did not believe the Lord. Now, come on, you guys. Here's this question. So God is saying, you know, I was with you. You saw that I was with you, right? Look what I did to all those Egyptians. Look what I did. Didn't you? Come on. Were you there? Did you walk on dry ground? Did you see water all around you? Did you see an army behind you? Did you see that I delivered you? Well, yeah. Yep. Do you see how dull and forgetful man is without holding that word of God in their heart?
Amen.
Huh? Listen here, brothers and sisters. We are going to be tried before we get out of here, and these are the things exactly that's going to confront us. Are you going to believe your surroundings to the point you can't hear the voice of God? Because that's a real threat. If you concentrate on your troubles, if you concentrate on your problems, if you concentrate on the enemy, If you concentrate how evil he is, how bad he is, how big he is, instead of how big your God is, you will quit hearing the voice of God, and all you will hear is, oh, my troubles. Oh, look at those walls. Well, they just grew. They were 20 foot tall, I thought. Oh, they're 40 foot tall. Really? Oh, yeah, they're almost 70 foot tall. Oh, they went up to heaven. Yeah. And God said, I bury you. And he said, oh, really? Did he? Gee, where was I? He didn't bury me. He didn't? He bore somebody. Who did he bear? The ones who had the word of God in his heart that believed him, he sure bore Joshua. He sure bore Caleb, didn't he? And anybody that would just say, I believe you, Father. True or not true? See, this is incredible. How is it that the Lord told them that he bare them or carried them as a man bears his son and they didn't believe him? How is that? So let's go backtrack again. Exodus chapter 19. We're all familiar with that one, right? Moses, where the children of Israel accepted the law and they were supposed to accept it. Exodus 19, verse 3. And Moses went up to God, verse 3 to 6. And the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Is that love? Is that a loving father? Huh? Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, you'll be a peculiar treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel, and he did. So when Moses spoke them, they weren't Moses' words, they were God's. And God's words have wings. And he says, I bore you on eagle's wings. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. So what are those eagle's wings? The words that God spoke through his prophet. The words that God spoke that they would take into their hearts and say, I believe him. My God is a God of integrity. He's not a liar. He's not two-faced, double-faced. He doesn't change with the wind. He doesn't change in be a different person in front of different people for different reasons. He's God the same yesterday, today, and forever, always the same. And he's proved that he's glorious in holiness. He can't be anything other than what he is. And because he's glorious in holiness, his power is tremendous. Because he's glorious and I can trust him for everything. Yeah. Eagle's wings. Mm-hmm. The word of God in their heart carried them above everything. God's word to them is likened to eagle's wings that carried them over every danger and every enemy they faced. Whether natural enemy, like drought or famine, or the dangers of cruel men who had every intention to torture them and kill them. Now these eagle wings were created and designed to be in the air. True or not true? All those eagle wings are designed by their creator to fight against every law of gravity. They're not earthbound. They're not dirt bound. They're not flopping around in the ground and raising dust that clouds the view. Yeah. They are lifting what they are carrying into the sky. And so this is the power of the Word of God taken into the heart of man, who would say, against all odds, against all of my senses, I believe those words. And here we are one more time to see kingdom men with kingdom hearts to hear kingdom words that lift them up above the dangers and cares of this world and transport them safely to where God promised to take them. Do you hear what I said? God's words have wings that lift you up above all the physical dangers of this world and carry you safely exactly to where He wanted you to go and promised to take you. Yeah. These are, in reality, words with wings. Janelle, write a song for us that. You're going to write a song for it. I can feel it. Words with wings. Amen. Words that carry the believer above the natural cares and constraints of this life and transport them out from above their chains that the enemy would love to use to hold them down. Yeah. Words that have all the nature and power and love of God in them to lift you up where He is, to see His sight, to hear His voice, and be taken into His eternal habitations. It was words with wings that took Enoch out of this world, literally. Mm-hmm. Think of that. Mm-hmm. Words with wings that were so real that lifted him up above every sphere of this realm and carried him right into the arms of God. It was words with wings that were in the heart of Abraham to break the chains of his dying flesh to receive the promised son. It was words with wings that carried Joshua and Caleb into their inheritance above those giants that everybody else ran from. There's everybody else said, no, they'll kill us. Joshua and Caleb had words with wings in their hearts that says, no, there's no fear. They're bred for us. God's going to carry us over them right to the promised land. Think of the power. It is words with wings that have all the power of God in them that will carry us out of this world into our Father's world. How great are those words?
Amen.
How great is our God? Musicians, would you come? And yes, let's ride on the wings of faith. Would you stand with me, brothers and sisters? There are two roads you may take, and one by faith. what you see, and what you believe is what will be. So set your wings on the winds of faith, you will fly in a higher place. Do not struggle, it's by grace. Put your wings to the winds of faith. What's your deed? What's your speak the word of God. What's your mind? Or you? For us, that can take you places you could never go, that will give you wings to fly above everything that this world would use to hold you down to. Huh? How rich, how blessed we are. How can you thank him enough? When he has given you a heart to say, I believe it. Amen. It's true. And when you make that confession and live on it, you just watch him, watch those wings take you above it all. And the closer we get to be taken out of here, the more we're going to need this. The more this is going to be a reality in our lives. But I got something in my soul. I got the word of God living there. I got the word in my heart that there's no flesh that can hold me down. There's no sickness. There's no pain. There's no troubles. No. Can we just sing the first verse again? Struggle, it's place my faith. Amen. Stephen, would you come up close? Thank you. So good to see you, dear brother.
Father,
thank you, Lord.
What an invitation, Lord.
Uh-huh.
Lord, just to think about Psalms 95, Lord. It's such an invitation, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Because we need to come out from something. We need to come from the place that we are.
Mm-hmm.
To escape that, Lord, we need an invitation. Would we have an invitation?
Thank you, Lord.
Lord,
thank you, Jesus.
It's not surprising because we know you, but it's so marvelous. It's too wonderful, Lord, to receive this invitation, Lord. But, Lord, to accept that, Lord, and to let it transport us, Lord, from our Egypt, Lord, into your promise, Lord.
Amen.
Into your presence,
thank
Lord.
You, Jesus.
Not with groanings and not with mumblings and weaknesses of ink. Our inability of with you, Lord, but with you in our hearts, Lord, that we are more than able, Lord. We are more than able to escape whatever, Lord, that we're struggling with, whatever our wilderness is, whatever our Egypt is, Lord, to look to you, look to you, our promise, Lord, that you have from our Father. You're not just God powerful. You're not just God Word. You're God Father.
Thank
God
you,
Abba.
Jesus.
You're my Father. You're
thank
our
you,
Father. And you
Amen.
Care about us.
Amen.
You bear us.
Yes.
Lord, you don't bear
yes.
us, Lord, like you just bear with us, Lord.
Yeah, yeah. You
somewhat impatient with us, Lord. You bear us, Lord, on those eagle's wings. Lord,
thank
under
you,
your
Jesus.
We're born on your strength. We're born on your power, Lord. You're
thank
lifting
you,
us up, oh God. You're transporting us from the bombs falling upon this world to destroy it.
Yeah.
Lord, every day, Lord, we're hearing these bombs. We're hearing these troubles. We're hearing these things. And Lord, we want to be escaped from this, Lord, on your wings, Lord. From on your wings, Lord, to escape the news. On your wings to escape the false gospels of this age. To, Lord, see the reality of who you are, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father, that we can accept this, Lord. Rescue us, Father, from old mindsets, from old conceptions of what the Word of God is.
Oh,
Lord,
Lord,
to see you, Lord, and to see your promise, and to see, Lord, that we can ride upon your wings, Lord, up high. Do this, Lord, in our lives, Father. Break every stronghold, Lord, that would keep us from this, Father. That we, Lord, that there's no wall too high, Lord, because we're on your wings, Lord, that's higher. Please, Father, please, oh God, I just rebuke every evil spirit that would be keeping us in strongholds, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus cover each of our minds and our hearts, Lord, this morning, oh God, and deliver us, oh God, and break us into your marvelous light. Commit each soul in your hands now in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. Anybody like prayer this morning for anything? We're here for each other. We're here to help each other. God is for you, brothers and sisters. He's on your side. And so are we. Everybody for each other. God bless you. You may be dismissed.